we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a fantastic Friday in Brevard County, Florida, and you are tuned to 91.5 FM WMIE here in Brevard County, Florida. And we are so glad that you have chosen to make us part of your day. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Today is February the 17th. Hope that you are having a great day. I'm really excited because my wife and daughter will return from their vacation tomorrow. They've been out visiting my mother-in-law and taking care of some family situations out there. And so I'm going to be really excited that they are getting back, and also excited for what is going to be taking place on Sunday, where we are going to be stretching our faith and believing God to provide for even more as far as mission participation around the globe in 2017. So that's what's coming up this weekend. We're having our missions banquet Sunday night, and Sunday morning I will be preaching a message on being a Christian who is on the offense, not just a Christian that's on the defense. And so I'm going to be sharing that word, excited about what God is going to be doing through that. If you can come out and be a part of what God is doing, we would love to have you join us. Our morning service time starts at 10:30. Our missions banquet Sunday night starts at 6:30. And we're also now trying to live stream on Facebook Live our sermon portion of our service, and that comes on about 11:15 to 11:30, depending upon what time that we get to that. So we are thankful for the word of God today. Right now we are going through some declarations. I originally shared some declarations from Christine Kane. These are now declarations that Pastor Craig Groeschel shared with his congregation and with a mass email that went out, and I'm sharing some of these with you today because you and I need to know who we are in Christ. It helps us to stay on task. It helps us to undermine the deception of the enemy. And before I get into that, I will say this: if you would like a copy of the notes that I did last Sunday morning, you can go onto our Facebook page. By the way, if you haven't already done so, you can go on there, like us at Merritt Assembly of God. And if you would I had way more material than what I was able to share in one service. I was preaching on offense, how easily that people are offended. And Jesus said it was impossible that offense would not come. Offense must come. And that when offense comes, that many multitudes, if you will, would betray one another and they would hate one another. There's not a more contemporary statement that I can find than that is a ever-present reality in America right now, where there are people who are literally, they literally hate one another because of something that has no eternal significance whatsoever. And it was quite an educational sermon for me. Living life offended is actually a trap of the enemy. If you'd like a book that will help walk you through some of that, it's The Bait of Satan by John Bevere is a great book. I haven't read it in some time, but I remember after I did a series on offense that I saw some stuff by Joyce Meyer. I saw John Bevere, and it's like, wow, they did really good job on that. And so If you'd like those notes, you can contact us via email. You can call us at 321-454-4263. We'd love to share the notes with you. It's absolutely free. You can if you just show up at church, because we actually gave away all of those copies that we made last week, but we would be more than happy to email it to you, send it to you, whatever you, however you'd like it to done it to get them. It's not copyrighted material or anything like that. It was free information that came to me, and it was information that I shared, and I believe that it will make you and I better stewards of what God has given to us and entrusted to us in the community. You see, I don't like it when people don't like me. That's just the way that I am. But I'm that stuff doesn't control me nearly as much as it used to. You see, if somebody doesn't like me because of the word of God that I shared with them, then they've got a problem with the word. They don't have a problem with me. So I don't necessarily take everything as personal as I used to. Now, I'm not going to, if you tell me, please don't scratch your nails on the chalkboard, and then I deliberately go over there and scratch my nails on the chalkboard just to drive you nuts and get under your skin, that would be offending you. But I don't like liver, but if you eat liver, it's not going to offend me. But there are so many people in society right now that are looking to be sheltered from things that it's not necessarily offense. It's just they don't like it. And I'm more interested in sharing the words of truth. And so one of the things I shared on Sunday was this: in a world that is filled with darkness, light is offensive. In a world that is filled with deception, truth is offensive. In a world that is filled with sin, the cross of Jesus Christ is offensive. And I can't do anything at all about that offense. In fact, I would offend God by depriving you of that truth, and I'm much more interested in not offending him than I am offending other people. And so if you'd like those notes, you can contact us. I'd be happy to share those with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to go. We ended yesterday's broadcast by declaring that we are a faith-filled, life-speaking, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Today, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, "Now then, we are Christ's ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So today, I want you to begin your day by making this declaration over your life that if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you are his ambassador. You are his ambassador. You know, whenever there's a change in presidential administrations, there are changes in who the ambassadors are that represent the interests of the United States around the globe. And some of those are ceremonial. Some of them are very important and very strategic. And so that ambassador is there to represent the government that has positioned them where they are. And so you and I are on divine assignment. God has chosen this time. He has chosen this place for us to live. And so we need to live our life in such a way that we are representing him well. Okay? The second thing that an ambassador does is the communications that he delivers or she delivers are not originated from them, but they originate from the government that they represent. And so you and I, first of all, have to be in connection with the King. We've got to be in connection with Jesus Christ, who has given us this ambassadorship, this role as an ambassador. He's placed us here to issue decrees that he wants people to know that there is a Savior, that there is healing, that there is reconciliation. In fact, that's what this entire passage is talking about, is the ministry of reconciliation, that Jesus wants to reconcile the sinful mass of humanity to the Savior who died for them, to God who created them. It's a mission of reconciliation. And so we need to know what God's word has to say, and then we need to speak that declaration in the manner that Jesus wants us to. I came up with a saying several years ago, and it was quite simply this: not everything that crosses my mind is meant to cross my lips. And through the years, there have been a few occasions where I, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, allowed some words to cross my lips that had not originated in the throne of God. They had originated in the hurt of Bob. And, you know, when you know that you have spoken something that you shouldn't have spoken, then you need to repent, and you need to go and you need to make that right as best as you can. So I've been reading a book, and as I was reading this book not too long ago, there was a pastor who was spending a day with his superintendent. I believe it was a person who had a great deal of authority, and he said that as he was praying about spending the day with the superintendent, he said, I felt like God told me that he's going to correct you today. He's going to speak correction into your life today. And so they spent the day together, and they talked about all sorts of issues, but no correction had come. The pastor had communicated with him, you know, some of the mistakes that he had made and some of the lessons that he had learned, and all of that sort of conversation had taken place. And it got to the end of the day, and the superintendent, you know, said how much he had enjoyed the day, and he said, is there anything else you want to talk about? And the pastor said, well, when I was praying this morning, God spoke to me and said that you were going to speak some correction into my life. And all of a sudden, the superintendent reached into his desk and pulled out a letter that somebody had written about the pastor. And he said, well, I was going to talk to you about this, but after spending the whole day with you, I realize that the Holy Spirit has already been dealing with your heart about the issues that were talked about in this letter, and so there's no need for me to speak correction. You've already accepted the correction of the Holy Spirit. And so, folks, there is a philosophy that says no regrets, no repentance. And I want you to know that's not a biblical philosophy. It's not a biblical truth. You and I are not perfect. I am not a perfect spokesperson. I am a vessel of clay that has been entrusted with this tremendous treasure. And so I want to be the best representative. I want to be the best vessel that I can be. I do want to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. And so if you've blown it, don't be afraid to admit that you've blown it. In fact, my wife and I, we have apologized to our kids numerous times for things that we have done or didn't do that we should have done. Don't be afraid. It will actually, you know, the devil will tell you that it will undermine your credibility. But God actually uses that to reinforce your credibility. because everybody knows it when you've blown it. It takes a person of strength and a person of character to say, you know what, I messed up. So you are Christ's ambassador today. So don't just spout off at the lips. You go and you represent God well. Ephesians chapter 2 is the next point in Craig Groeschel's declarations. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. And it says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And he says, I am God's masterpiece. I still remember as a kid going to Sunday school and hearing this expression that God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make inferior products. As a child of the living God, I am no longer defective. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am his masterpiece. This world is all about mass production. God is not looking to mass produce or use cookie cutters to create people that are all in the same image. He is looking for a masterpiece that when people see his handiwork in your life, they give glory to him. So I'm not trying to become like any other preacher. I'm not trying to become Craig Groeschel. His style and my style are two entirely different styles. This information that he shared just happens to be really good information. But if you watched his videos on when he shares this, it would be entirely different than the way that I am sharing this information. You are God's masterpiece. Do not sacrifice the originality and the uniqueness that God has crafted into you to try and become someone you were never created to be. Okay. Now that isn't saying that you aren't supposed to grow and develop. God's still working on you. I believe too many Christians take a lazy approach and they say, well, I just can never do that. And you are absolutely right. You will never do that until you say, I believe that there is a way that we can do that. One of the pastors that was the most influential in my early ministry, he had this philosophy. He would go and he would talk to the experts and they would say, well, what you're talking about, what the dream that you have inside of you, it cannot be done. And then he would, rather than taking that and saying, well, just because it's never been done doesn't mean that it can't be done. And those things that they would tell him couldn't be done, pretty soon he had figured out a way for it to be done. And I just love that. That God is still working on us. So you have faith, praise God. May he take you from faith to faith. You have strength, praise God. He wants to make you stronger. You have patience, fantastic. You're going to need more patience. You're going to need the patient endurance of the saints. Revelation talks about that there are certain situations that calls for the patient endurance of the saints. And if you and I, if we've got to have everything all cushy and comfortable to us in order for us to survive, I want you to know that God's got a path of maturity. You know, if you see a clay vessel, I remember when I was growing up, my mother and my grandmother, they did ceramics. And so they would take this thing that they had the molds and everything. I'm telling you, they were big time into it. But in order for it to have the lasting value that it needed to have, it had to go through the kiln. It had to go through the fire. It had to be cured. So some of my greatest treasures that I have are things that were handmade by my relatives. And those things said, you know what? God's taking me through the fire. I'm not going to come out of this process worse. I'm going to come out of this process better. So I am content in Christ alone. Paul said, I have learned this secret. I have learned to be content. It's very important that you and I realize that other people are not the source of our contentment. It is the fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of us. He makes us whole. He's the one who sits upon the throne. It is his lordship that creates that contentment in us. I am not looking. My wife is not the source of my contentment. My kids are not the source of my contentment. My paycheck is not the source of my contentment. Who sits in the White House is not the source of my contentment. In the past or in the present, it is Jesus Christ who causes me to be content, because I know that he is above all of those things. And in bad economic times, in good economic times, God has taken care of us. And so I want you to disarm the lie of the enemy that says, oh, you know what? If this person was in my life, then I would be content. No, that's not going to be the case. You need Jesus to make you whole. I can't make you whole. Okay? And so I want to be the best pastor that I can be, but I will tell you, it took me a long time to come to this. I can still remember the time that God dealt with this issue. Because basically what I do is two things. I try and love Jesus and love people. Those would be one thing. I try and preach the word to the best of my ability. Those are the two things that I focus on. And so if I figured that if I was sharing truth and I was loving people and loving God, that people would like that. And I found that there were people who came through and they would pass through. And when they left, I thought that I was going to be able to achieve what other pastors had not. And as those people passed through and they left with the same problems they had when they came, I said, you know what? Super pastor is dead. I took that mindset because I was beating myself up because other people would not respond to the invitation for God to make them whole. And so I was taking some of that stuff personally. I will tell you this, if you're in a relationship with your pastor at church and all of a sudden there's something that happens, it's a painful process. It's a painful process. Pastors tend to feel the pain whenever people leave the church. It's just a reality. And so I used to beat myself up over that and would become discontented with myself because other people didn't like me. And so I had to come and allow that to change. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, we're going to talk about one more today, and then you are going to go off into a victorious weekend. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So I want you to know that God has chosen you. The greatest day in a college football or college basketball player or a baseball player's life is the day that they get drafted by a professional sports franchise. In that draft, it is that team saying, we have selected you to become a part of this team. We have intentionally and deliberately chosen you because we want you to be a part of what we're doing. And when you say yes to Jesus, you are hearing God say, I have chosen you out of the mass of humanity to be my child, to be part of my family, to be part of the church, to be part of this wonderful thing that we are doing. I have chosen you. And so that ought to soothe a lot of sting and pain and hurt that comes from rejection. I have felt rejection. In fact, I have conversations with salespeople, and their sales offers get rejected a lot more than their offers get accepted. So I want you to realize that Jesus was the chief cornerstone, but he was rejected by the builders, but he was accepted by God. Don't allow an inferior rejection to deprive you of the blessings of a superior chooser, which is God. He chose you. He chose you. And just as a little bonus, this isn't on his list, at least not in this section, and that is this, that as you go off into this weekend, you are a blessed individual. If you're a child of God, you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You are not deprived. You are blessed. You are not cursed. You are blessed. You don't necessarily have the tangible blessings or the visible blessings, but there are spiritual blessings, and the Bible actually says those are of greater wealth than the tangible blessings that this world has to offer. Today, I just want to send you off with this. You are a masterpiece of God. You are Christ's ambassador to represent him well and to declare the words that he places inside of your heart. Allow God to refine you and make you a greater masterpiece than you thought you could ever be. Allow your contentment to be in Christ alone, not in your job or your paycheck or your house or your cars or your toys or the other people. Only place contentment is going to be found is in Christ Jesus, and he chose you. That's the greatest thing that I can think of. God has chosen me, and he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Father, I want to thank you right now. Work in us, O God, to continue to make us the masterpiece that represents you in a manner that you deserve. God, thank you for every spiritual blessing that you have given to us. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.